This episode of Inside Transportation is sponsored by Ford Motor Company, built on the belief that freedom of movement drives human progress. From connectivity to autonomy, AI to machine learning, Ford has one simple goal: to improve mobility for its customers. To learn more about Ford's work in mobility, autonomous vehicles, and their global efforts to improve mobility for its customers, visit corporate.ford.com. That's corporate.ford.com. Hello and welcome to the Inside Transportation Podcast, a production of Inside.com. This is our weekly podcast where we discuss transportation trends that you need to know about to stay ahead of the curve. My name is Johan Marino, and I'm joined here by a man who was once described as the most obviously lucky rich man who adds zero value to online discourse, Jason Calcanis. How's it going?
You talk to my mom, huh?
There you go.
My mom is very supportive, but it was a, yeah. Sometimes people will just write incredibly mean things to me. And if you say anything derogatory about Bitcoin, in or even anything modestly against it going to $1 million a coin, you will be brutalized on social media. So I just said to people, like, any chance you should keep your Bitcoin to like under 20% of your net worth or something in that range? They're like, what are you talking about? It's the future of everything. You should have 95% at least into it. And I'm just like, okay, no diversity.
Just sit back and watch while you sip your Diet Coke and see what's going on.
It's pretty
Thank you, Diet Coke. I'm trying to get Diet Coke to sponsor this podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure they've never heard that pitch before.
Yeah. So anyway, look, today's episode is called Another One Bites the Dust. Do you know why? It's not just because I love the song by Queen, but there's another company, EV startup, that has fallen by the wayside of Hindenburg Research. As you remember, last summer, Nikola was one of those startups who was taken down by Hindenburg Research. This time around, it's Lordstown Motors. So they were accused of fabricating.
Maybe we should explain what Hindenburg Research is.
Yeah, no. So Hindenburg Research is just a group of guys. I'm thinking it's like three people. That's what I've heard. Three people who. They're a short seller firm, and they do research on all these new companies that are coming out into the marketplace. So they did something on Nikola. Do you remember any other companies that they profiled?
Nikola was the one I remember because when I had Trevor on This Week in Startups, my other podcast, people were they reached out to me and they were like, "Here's all the horrible stuff," right? And yeah. So they basically look for inconsistencies in what management is telling the public and or investors. And
right.
There's an organization called the SEC.
Never heard of them.
Securities and Exchange Commission. And they really don't like when you mislead or in any way don't tell the truth to the public.
Right, right. And there's two entities you never want to fuck with. It's the SEC and the IRS, just saying. But yeah. Hindenburg has gone after Kandi, which is another EV startup, Loop, another startup, Clover Health, they've gone after them. But this time around, it's Lordstown Motors. So they were accused of fabricating about 100,000 pre-orders for its upcoming endurance pickup truck. And the SEC is now asking the company for more details about the allegations. Keep this in mind. So we actually just found out this week that a prototype of the Lordstown Endurance actually caught on fire in January.
Okay.
Lordstown is cooperating with the inquiry and the board of directors has created a special committee to review the claims. So basically at the center of all these accusations as well, with the fabrication of the 100,000 pre-orders, Lordstown was accused of paying a small consulting firm called Climb to Glory for every truck pre-order they made as early as 2016. So the way this scheme would work is that they had this consulting firm called Climb to Glory. And for every company that Climb to Glory could find to pre-order one of these trucks. Now, keep in mind, the pre-order, it's not like Tesla, right, where you have to leave $1,000 down. This situation is a no deposit, no commitment pre-order. So you're pre-ordering something without even leaving a dime on the table, saying
I think you have to leave your email. I'm going to guess they asked for your email address.
Okay. Maybe an email, maybe the company name.
First name, last name.
Yeah, first name, last name, but no money down, right? So this company, Lordstown, was saying, hey, we have all of these pre-orders. But the reality was this consulting firm was, or actually, you know, what the accusations are saying, I just want to clarify. You know, the Climb to Glory would get companies to agree to pre-order a vehicle with no deposit, and then the Climb to Glory would make money from Lordstown. So there were situations where, for example, Lordstown announced they had a 14,000 truck deal. Now, this would be about $735 million in revenue with a company called E Squared Energy. Hindenburg discovered that E Squared Energy doesn't have a vehicle fleet, and they're based out of a small residential apartment in Texas. Another order for 1,000 trucks, which would be about worth, you know, $52 million in revenue, comes from a two-person startup that operates out of a Regis virtual office with a mailing address at the UPS store. And they actually said that their pre-order was a mere marketing relationship. Lordstown is backed by General Motors. They have a seat on the board. Lordstown acquired an old GM production facility in Ohio in 2019, and they actually caught the attention of the Trump administration at the time. The vice president at the time, Mike Pence, attended the unveiling of the Endurance pickup truck, the prototype. And, you know, I get it. There's a lot of, you know, demand. There's no demand for these vehicles, right? But, you know, if you're trying to raise money, if you're trying to get these actually into production, I mean, I get why they would do something like that. Is it right? Absolutely not. What are your thoughts, Jason?
So this is fraud at a very acute level. In if the way you're presenting it to me, this would appear to be a fraud. And I'll explain to you how this fraud works. Whenever you set incentives, any reasonable business person has heard the term incentives matter. Mm-hmm. If you incent people, and what would be really interesting is to get what this crazy marketing company Climb to Glory, I would like to know their history. You have a fiduciary responsibility, if you are Lordstown, to know what marketing partners are doing. That doesn't mean they can't make a mistake, but if the incentive is that they get paid when somebody puts in a non-binding, no cash order, any reasonable business person would know that that would be subject to fake orders coming in, non-real orders coming in. If you're putting in $500 or $1,000, people have even criticized Ford or Tesla for counting those as, you know, demand.
Right, yeah.
People have been critical about that. Now, that's with somebody putting down, taking out their credit card, which is friction, and putting down, what, $500 to $1,000 deposit?
Yeah, I think that Cybertruck pre-order was $500, and there was about 500,000 people were criticizing them.
Well, and I think it was $5,000, if memory serves me correct, for Model 3. Mm-hmm. And it was, you had to pay for the Model S, Model X, and the Roadster 100%. So over time, Tesla, which is a very real company shipping very real cars that we see all over the place that win awards, they lowered the amount, but not to zero. You need to have some skin in the game. So you know there's no skin in the game. And then you also know this party is getting incented to get the form filled out. So you, as the marketing manager, the CEO who hired the marketing manager, you can't really say, I didn't know what they were doing when you set up the incentive structure. Mm-hmm. And that will be at the key of this. When right. this goes to some kind of settlement or investigation, somebody's going to say, when you signed off on this incentive system, why did you not ask for a $100 deposit, $500, or a $1,000 deposit like I think Ford did for the
Mach-E. Yeah.
The Mach-E. I don't know what that was. I think it was $500 too, right?
Yeah. It was like $500.
And, you know, you're going to get some people who will cancel if they don't like the eventual car. But, okay, let's say cancellations are 10 or 20 or 30%. Well, that makes sense. You would expect 10, 20, 30% of people to cancel if they book a room in Vegas or they buy a ticket to a movie, right? There's a certain number of people who change their plans, and that's acceptable. Here, you know this incentive is going to lead to bad behavior. And that's where I think they're going to be in big trouble. Now, if they hired 100 different marketing companies, right? Mm-hmm. And they gave, and they tested 20% did it for free, 20% required a $100 deposit, 20% got a $500 deposit, and they gave them different types of spiffs or commissions for those different things. The person who got somebody to sign up for free got $10. The person who got a $500 startup got $100. The person who got a $1,000 startup got $200. And $5,000 got $500 for each of those orders. Right. Then you could say, well, look, we're just testing a bunch of different things. But this screams of knowingly creating an incentive system that would generate fraud and then not checking it. The mm-hmm. fact that Hindenburg had to go look up E Squared Energy and the people with the Regis office and the UPS store mailing, that's something that somebody on the marketing team could have checked before they sent Climb to Glory their commission check, right?
Right.
You would
yeah.
obviously check that.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I mean, this company just went public. It helps to tell people that you have pre-ordered 100,000 cars, right? So I
just
definitely
never.
Think they're, I mean, and also they're one of those companies that have really been doing the whole enterprise play, right? They're not selling directly to consumers. They're selling it to companies and they're selling them in large batches in a move to kind of electrify vehicle fleets. But what the thing is, any respectable company is going to do their due diligence if they're going to be ordering, 14,000 trucks. You're ordering 14,000 trucks. 14,000 trucks.
Not 1,400, not 140, not 14.
No, 14,000 trucks. Jason, would you order 14,000 trucks from a company who hasn't even made one? I don't know.
Put an order in for 14 and test them on a track and then right. order your next. Yeah.
But what really concerns me about situations like these, the Nikola situation, is electric vehicles are the future. There is going to be a point where all vehicles are going to be electric in our lifetimes. And, by having these companies that are kind of gaming the system and trying to, take advantage of investors who are investing a lot of electric car companies because of Tesla, it isn't a good look, right? And the skeptics and the oil companies and all these entities that are working against the electrification of vehicles, they're going to point out at these situations and be like, hey, electric vehicles, you're selling snake oil, right? And that's a little concerning. But there's that, right? With Lordstown Motors, it'll be interesting to see how that saga plays out. But if you want, Jason, why don't we take a quick break? We'll go on to the next topic here. And we're going to be talking about Tesla and China. I think the love affair is coming to crumbles, but we'll talk to that. We'll talk about that up next here on Inside Transportation. Stay tuned.
I just want to let you know that this episode of Inside Transportation is sponsored by our friends at the Ford Motor Company, built on the belief that freedom of movement drives human progress from connectivity to autonomy. Ford has one simple goal, and that's to improve the mobility of its customers. Ford has been using technology to shape the future of transportation for over 100 years and is dedicated to solving the world's most pressing mobility issues. What you might not know is that Ford has a series of divisions that make these visions a reality. Ford X is Ford's venture incubator that unites entrepreneurs, designers, and engineers to shape the future of transportation. Ford's City Innovations team brings innovative ideas to life through community workshops, crowdsourcing initiatives, and citywide mobility challenges. And Spin, a property of Ford, brings e-scooter sharing to cities and college campuses. So here's your call to action. To learn more about Ford's work in mobility, autonomous vehicles, and their global efforts to improve mobility for its customers, visit corporate.ford.com. That's corporate.ford.com.
And we're back here on Inside Transportation. Jason Calcanis, Johan Marino, talking about the week's hottest mobility and transportation news stories. Now, the Chinese government is restricting military staff and employees of key state-owned companies from driving Tesla vehicles, citing concerns about how data is collected from Tesla vehicles and it potentially being the source of national security leaks. Beijing is concerned about how Chinese vehicle data might be sent back to the U.S. This follows a government security review of Tesla's products in China, where officials have raised concerns about how Tesla vehicle cameras can record images constantly, access vehicle usage records, as well as contact lists. In response, Elon Musk said, There is a very strong incentive for us to be very confidential with any information. If Tesla vehicles were used to spy in China, the company would be shut down. Now, China represents about 30% of the company's sales. Jason, do you think that the love affair between China and Tesla is slowly breaking down? Keep in mind, Tesla was actually one of the few companies that is able to wholly own their factory in China. Usually it's a joint venture arrangement, but Tesla was able to come in and fully own their factory with the support of the Chinese government.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very simple resolution here. You could just have all of the data from the cameras and the car's location and everything stored locally in an encrypted fashion and not allow it to be uploaded to the cloud. Very simple solution. And in fact, they added the checkbox of do not turn off the camera inside the cabin, because they have that little camera by
the
mirror, which is, I think, eventually going to be to make sure that the driver is paying attention to the road, like there's somebody in the driver's seat was kind of the idea behind that, I think, is what they talked about. And also for security, if somebody breaks into your car. So you can turn that off, or you can put a piece of tape over it like people do with their laptops. I think it's a non-issue. You know, you could very easily, and as Elon said, like there's a pretty big incentive for them to not release this. And also the Chinese government has TikTok, and that's spread in America. They have all that data in all likelihood, or have access to it if they want to. So, you know, I think when the Chinese are operating in the United States, they can kind of do whatever they want. And when American companies are operating in China, they can do whatever the government there wants. That's the reality of it. So Twitter and Google and Facebook are not allowed in China. Tesla is, Apple is, but when you're Tesla and Apple, you have to play by their rules, and the risk of ruin is very clear. If you don't, you know, do it their way, it's the highway.
Yeah, I mean, Elon and Tesla very well know that they don't really have freedom of speech or free trade in China, so they really have to play their cards right here. But, you know, I personally think that the honeymoon between Tesla and China is over. You know, I predict that 2 years from now, China is going to put Tesla in a position where they're going to have to pick the US or China. I also predict it has something to do with data. I mean, we're seeing that they're rolling out full self-driving, and there's going to be a ton of data related to this. And I know for sure that the Chinese government's going to want access to that data. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out. You know,
we have that here in fairness that we have that here in the US. If the FBI, CIA go to any car company or any phone company or any internet provider and say, here's a subpoena, we need this information, you're required to hand it over. You can't say no to the subpoena. You can say no to unlocking some technology, like I think it was the San Bernardino shooting where we're not going to backdoor unlock the phone, but yeah. The phone records and, you know, so they may not give them a backdoor or crack the phone, but they can basically say anything else on the phone you can have access to, the GPS, if it pinged towers and all that stuff. So, you know, it's two different ways to operate. The Chinese and the Americans are in a competition with each other, but they are not ready to disentangle, because the person with the most to lose would be China in this instance. For China to lose Tesla or Apple would be really bad for them, I believe. And, you know, they need the jobs, they need these kind of partnerships, and they need them to work. So if it doesn't work with Tesla, if it wasn't working with Apple, then the NBA and Disney and anybody else trying to have these economies work together, Amazon as well, you know, there's a lot at stake for China. In terms of making stuff for us. So I think the West has, just to broaden the discussion beyond just Tesla, West has a lot of leverage over what happens in China in terms of commerce. And China really does not want to be in a position where, putting aside Tesla, because they're building the stuff there for people in China. But yeah. Imagine if Amazon, Japan, Australia, Taiwan, and everybody start moving their factories out of China, which has already started to happen because of economics, like Vietnam, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, India, other places are cheaper, Africa. So we're already starting to see manufacturing leaving China, and that's going to be a big challenge for them, is can they fill in those 300 or 400 million people who are now in the middle class and keep them employed?
So yeah, that's a good point.
They don't have a safety net there either. So that's the other problem. They're growing very fast, but they don't have like a super safety net like the West does, Europe or America.
Yeah.
So it could be a civil war over there if they can't keep people employed.
No, for sure. And I know that other American companies like Volkswagen and Starbucks and, like you said, Apple, they're often criticized by the Chinese government. So it seems to be something very common there. It might be to kind of rally the country in criticizing these foreign companies that are kind of coming in. But at the end of the day, like you said, it is an even exchange, and it is what it is. But let's shift from talking about electric cars here and talk about Jason. Are you ready for vacation? Are you ready for a vacation?
Oh, I cannot wait. Life? I would like to go on vacation. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So, would you go on a cruise?
Never. I have three rules. Number one, no all-you-can-eat buffets. I'm sorry, no buffets, no cruises, and no all-you-can-eat sushi. Those are my three rules. Three things I never do.
Wow. Well, if
I don't like crowds of people touching food, and I don't like gluttony and all that stuff. It's just not for me.
Uh-huh. Well, in case anyone listening to this podcast is interested in going on a cruise ship, Royal Caribbean and Celebrity Cruises said they are resuming cruises in June, sailing out of the Bahamas and St. Martin, respectively. These are going to be 7-night sailings that are going to start on June 12th. All adult passengers are going to need to show proof of vaccine to sail. And any children under the age of 18 can sail with the proof of a negative COVID test. Keep in mind, these sailings are not originating from any stops at U.S. ports because that would require the approval of the CDC. But cruise lines currently have approval to sail in these destinations where American travelers can actually go. So anyone in the U.S. right now can fly to the Bahamas and go on a cruise. These cruises are going to be targeted to American travelers. Keep in mind, before COVID, 800 cases of COVID occurred on 3 cruise ships.
And I mean, it's really where the whole thing kind of got started and manifested itself was on cruise ships.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I forgot that. Remember the cruise ship coming into San Francisco, or maybe it was Oakland, and then there was one in Japan.
Yeah, the one in Japan. The CDC,
they were like, "We're not letting you off. Stay on.
You're staying on."
Ooh, scary. Yeah.
This is really happening. That's what the senior vice president of hotel operations said for Royal Caribbean.
Not for me.
So,
Johan, but not me.
How open do you think passengers are to staying on a cruise? I mean, I've seen air travel come back, hotel travel come back.
People will jump right back in if they've had the vaccine. My view of the vaccine is it's a miracle. And from all my research, and somebody please email me if I'm wrong, jason@calacanis.com, or if you have counterexamples, tweet at me at Jason on Twitter. But I've done this research over and over again, and I cannot find anybody who says there's been a death from COVID of a person who had the vaccine.
Right.
Obviously, people have died after taking the vaccine, and it's not from the vaccine necessarily. People die all the time.
People die.
And we have hundreds of millions of people who have been vaccinated, so some number will die the moment after they get vaccinated, or the day after, or 2 days after, tragically. But that's the nature of all things. People die. And in the law of big numbers is people will die of the vaccine. So, and I also have read, at least in the Israeli stuff, nobody's been admitted to the ICU or intubated, put on a ventilator or died. So I think, by now we would have had all of this happen, and it hasn't. So I think it's, a big deal.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see how cruise ships kind of come back into the travel foray. I know for sure air travel, hotel, amusement parks, people are ready to go out, especially now because it's been over a year.
Just get vaccinated, everybody.
Yeah, just get
if
the
you're
vaccine.
Vaccinated, you're fine. Go on a cruise, go to a club. I'm not a doctor, but I think you can't take another year off of your life. And the vaccine's a miracle. So amongst my friends, I think everybody's basic position is if you're vaccinated, go on with your life. And if you don't want to get vaccinated, we're leaving you behind.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, let's close off the show here with my favorite feature, Dope or Nope.
Oh, here we go.
This week, we're not doing a car. We're doing an electric scooter. Oh. Now, this electric scooter, and you'll be able to see the show notes. In the show notes, we'll put the link to the video. But this is called the Apollo Phantom. Now, this is an electric scooter. It looks very much like a kick scooter, you know, a bird or a lion, very similar to that. But this is actually really tricked out. It has continuous 1200 watt continuous and 1600 peak motors combined with a 52 volt battery, top speed of 36 miles per hour. Jason, you should click on that video.
38 miles per hour. Wow. Yeah. $1,800.
And a range of 40 miles. Scooter starts at $1,800. Now, Jason, if you click on that YouTube video, you'll see how awesome this scooter is. You can ride it in the grass. You can ride it on different terrains.
Is that because of the suspension? It looks like it's got a very unique type of air suspension of some type.
Yes.
Bouncing up and down. I don't know if it's an air suspension or what.
Yeah, it also has something to do with the braking system as well. Oh. I think it has like a hydraulic like braking system.
Oh, very cool.
So it's super cool. I'm a dope. This is awesome. I haven't been a huge fan of the whole kick scooter movement, but this is something that would definitely convince me otherwise. The only thing is, you know, hey, $1,800, it's kind of a lot. But what do you think, Jason?
It's clearly dope. And I don't think you should go 38 miles an hour on one of those kick scooters. That seems incredibly dangerous.
But wear a helmet, guys.
This one's got chunky fat tires, and it's got that suspension braking. It does seem, from the video, that it can handle higher speeds or maybe be more resilient if you hit a bottle cap or something in the road. But, you know, not for me, generally, these things. So I'm not buying one. Uh-huh. But I am in the market for an electric bike. I would like to get an electric bike because I'm finding that I want to be out and about more and a little more active, but I also want to be able to, if, you know, I've had dinner and I'm driving up the hill, you know, electric bike would be more fun to zip up the hill.
Have you checked out the Van Moof?
The what?
The Van Moof?
V-A-N-M-O-F-F.
O-F. Yeah.
Well, there it is. Van Moof. Yeah.
S3. This is a beautiful, and by the way, this isn't sponsored. I just really love this electric bike. I've taken a ride on it. It looks beautiful. It does not look like an electric bike.
Oh, it's chunky. The batteries must be in the frame, right?
Yeah, the battery's in the frame because most electric bikes, they look like electric bikes. This looks like a very sleek city bike, and you have that added electric motor to help you up those Bay Area hills and stuff like that. But this one's about $2,000. So a little bit more on the pricey side. I've seen some electric bikes go for like $200, $300. This is not that. This is definitely a more premium experience. They're kind of the Apple of electric bikes.
Wow.
So,
this is the truly dope. Rear carrier, back carrier. It's got an smart app where it tells you what you've done. And
I think it has a smart lock as well.
And theft protection.
Features.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you can't, if you do steal it, you can't use it, right? S3 or X3? X3 packs the same motor, battery, and smart tech as the bigger sibling. Compact wheels and extra agile handling make it perfect for quick getaways. Oh, wow. So they have a smaller one, too, if you want to get smaller. But wow, these are awesome.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful bike. I love it. It's definitely on my wish list.
All right. There you go. Yeah. Vanmoof X3 or S3. Yeah, the X3 is a smaller and the other one is bigger. I wonder what the range is. I'm always wondering about the range of these. You know, you get the top speed, but the range also matters.
Yeah, well, you're in luck. They do home test rides in San Francisco area.
Oh, range, 37 to 93 miles. That's plenty. Battery capacity 500 kilowatts. See, what I think they need to do with these is have like an extra battery pack that you can put on the back if you want to have a longer range, you know?
Yeah, I think Lime and Bird are actually switching to that kind of model where they just have battery packs and they're switching out the scooters and bikes. So they're streamlining things. But anyway, that's awesome. It for today's show. We had a nice little news roundup. Stay tuned. We'll have awesome guests on in the next few weeks. Looking forward to them. Jason Calacanis, Joe Humberino signing off. Take care, everyone. Inside Transportation.
Bye-bye.